this is Victory House.
My light and salvation. All throughout the month of April, we're looking at Let There Be Light. And so this morning, I want to talk about my light and my salvation. Can somebody personalize to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 27, and then let's read from verse 1. Psalm number 27, reading from verse 1. Don't you just like the Chicago weather today? Amen. I mean, we went to Canada and it was still cold. I'm like, no, I'll take Chicago. I like that. All right, Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Is that somebody's testimony? Yes. I say, when the enemies and your foe come against you, they will stumble, yes. They will fall. Yes. Every attempt of the devil against your life will be useless. Yes. It's invalid. Yes. It will not work. Yes. In the name of Jesus. He said, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Verse 4, one thing I have desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In this very quarter, in the time of trouble, you'll be hidden in his pavilion. In the secret of the tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock in the name of Jesus. And now shall my head be lifted up. I say, now shall your head be lifted up. Above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle, in this victory house, where I have had an issue, where some people have known my story, in this same victory house, I will offer the sacrifices of joy. Joy will spring forth in my life. People will come to rejoice with me. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou hast said, seek my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Hide not your face far from me, put not your servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Verse 10. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So it does not matter the company I don't have. It doesn't matter who is or not on my side. As long as God is on my side, I'm a majority. I'm not a minority. I'm not in obscurity. Because God is on my side, I'm in the limelight. Can somebody say, God is on my side? Let's move on. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. Because of my enemies, verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breed out cruelty. I had fainted, or I will have given up. I will have ended it. I will have forgotten about this whole thing called God, or forgotten about this whole thing called life. But unless I had believed to see the goodness. Is somebody believing that goodness will still come out? That it will not always continue like this? That in this same America, your story will change? Let me tell you, some years ago, I'll finish that scripture, but this story is very pertinent. Let me tell you. Some years ago, I used to lead prayer with some of my friends. And we used to tell ourselves, in this same Chicago, because some people are postponing it into another city. And we will tell ourselves, we'll say in this same Chicago, we'll walk into a car lot, we'll say that one, we like that one, and we'll pay cash. We used to say this. And that time we're saying in this same Chicago. We didn't have money for rent. They would have served you eviction notice that, oh boy, if you don't pay this, you are gone. And then we'll come into the place of prayer. And then we will say that in this same Chicago. I'm prophesying to somebody in this same Chicago. That thing that is stressing you now, you will just remember it and you say, wow, look at me. Look at me. What is a big deal now? God will so mess up that big deal that you will become somebody helping people get out of that thing in the name of Jesus. Okay, now let's read that 13 together. Let's read it together. Number one, two, go. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you are listening to me, you will see the goodness of God. If you are listening to me, better days are ahead of you. Some people have known good old days. I tell you, better days are ahead of you. Whatever was doing well in the past, I have come to prophesy to you. You are not dead, so you should not become history. You should not become a memorial. You should not become a statue. If you are still alive, your future is bright, and you will get there in the name of Jesus. I know many people, they talk about yesterday as if yesterday is the only day in the world. There's today, and there's tomorrow. And if you are in God, today and tomorrow should be better. I don't care how good yesterday was, but today should be better. And that's what will happen for somebody in the name of Jesus. My light and my salvation. Please don't believe the story or the people that tell you he's trying to shine. You should shine. Look at your neighbor, say you should shine. Say you are supposed to shine. You are supposed to shine. Say I can shine my shine. You will shine your shine. That sounds like something. Say, I can shine my shine. And you will shine your shine. I know that may not be English, but it is spirit-ish. Spiritish. The Bible said in the scripture that we read, talking about God in several ways. But let's pick verse 6 and then connect it together. Verse 6 of the scripture. My light and my salvation. Verse 6, Psalm 20. He said, now shall my head be lifted up above. God is the God that lifts heads above. Now, you see, we live in a world where people like to talk about fairness. They like to talk about equity and stuff like that. And I believe in that. I believe things should be fair and all of that kind of thing. But we serve a God that sometimes when you look at his actions, you just come up and say, this is not fair, but in a good way. If you look at favor by definition, after you have said every other thing, you have to come to the conclusion that this doesn't make sense. This is preferential treatment. This is taking somebody above another person. This is putting somebody on top. This is making someone to shine. This is allowing somebody to have an advantage. And I'm telling you, that someone is you. That someone is you. Let's put it up. He says, the Lord lifts up my head above my enemies. Above my enemies. And now understand that when we talk about enemies, we're not necessarily talking about even people. There are systems. There are circumstances. There are things that are odds against you. There are things that have been stacked against you. There are things that the devil has set up to work against you. Things just didn't work in your way. Something happened. Something was taken away from you. Something was denied to you. Something didn't work. Those are enemies. Those are things that want to limit you. Those are things that want to stop you. Because believe it or not, the devil is still active. The fact that you are in a Western world does not mean that there's no devil. It's just that it's a devil that is more sophisticated, so to say. It's not as crude as some of the devils that people know in other part of the world. But there's still devil. There's still enemy. There's still the devil trying to stop you. But there are things showing up in different ways. Even sometimes your mind, the devil can want to use your mind as your enemy. But the Bible said God can lift you above that thing. God can lift you above that circumstance. God can lift you above that past. God can lift you above that what happened. And God can make you better. I'm prophesying over 2-3 people that would take it and receive it as there. You are being lifted in the name of Jesus. So believe it, God wants you to shine. God wants, in fact, on Wednesday we're talking about the fact that we have been commanded to shine. It's a command. I must obey. I can't disobey God. I have to do well. Even if I didn't want to do it, I've been commanded. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says the God who said, let there be light. And when he said, let there be light, there was no questioning. There was no argument. There was nothing saying, oh, well, let there be light. This is America. Why should there be light if it is Nigeria? There are some people living and hearing me today. They are thinking in their mind that they can't succeed the way they have succeeded in other parts of the world. Can I tell you the truth? Yeah. Without reference to there, you can do well. The Bible said Isaac sowed in the land. And in that same land, in that same year, he reaped an hundredfold. The God of wherever you have been coming from is the God of here. And God does not need geography. The God of this America will show up on your behalf. So God is a lifter of heads. God wants us to shine. And in fact, he doesn't just want us. He has commanded us to shine. So shining is we are obeying him. We are obeying him. It's something about obeying him. Now, David started this whole statement by laying the foundation of why we shine and how our light shine. He said, the Lord is my light, verse 1, and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? It's a rhetorical question. If the Lord actually is my light, if the Lord actually is my salvation, then it should change things. It should change my attitude. It should change my disposition. The reason why many people's disposition has not changed, even though it seems the Lord is their light and their salvation, is that the Lord is not being personalized as their light. See, there is a difference between the Lord is light and the Lord is my light. The Lord is light means the Lord is light to some people. The Lord is salvation to some people. But the Lord is my light means the Lord is my own personal light. If there is anything you need to understand with God, that one of the things that God embraces and loves the most is that God deals with people individually. God is the creator of the whole universe. But can I tell you this morning that it is not true that God is the father of everybody? Because Jesus, when Jesus was here on earth, in John chapter 8, I think verse 44, he said, you have your father, the devil. So Jesus, we know, right? Jesus, we know that some people are not God's children. He said, you have your father, the devil. He said, because he's a liar from the beginning, and you are talking lies like him. So you have your father, the devil. So God is the creator of all, general, but God is the father of some, personal. So when David said this here, you need to understand when David is talking here and saying, the Lord is my light, he's very careful with his choice of words. He's not saying the Lord is the light, which is true, because the Lord is the light. The Lord is the light. If you read John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. This same was with God in the beginning. And the Bible says, the light shined in darkness. When you get to verse 5, it says, darkness could not comprehend it. So this God is also the light. So why is David not saying God is light? Because when you make God personal to you, it has a different meaning. When we come to church, when we raise up our hands, praise God to that. But God does not do class actions. You know, in law, there's class actions where there's something that happened in an organization. Recently, I still got a mail from one company saying that, and I've gotten checks before like that. Somebody will go and sue a company and say, well, they cheated me this way, that way, and then, you know, they should be penalized. And because the law will look at it and say, well, because other people too were cheated like you, we will penalize the company, not only to pay you back, but they will pay other people too. So even though I was not the one that petitioned or that complained about this cheating that happened to me, the law will let them do a class action that will cover everybody that falls under that category. But when it comes to God, there are class actions a little bit with God, but most of the actions of God are individual. Are individual. That's why the psalmist went there and said, God is my light. God is my salvation. So how God is to me is more important than how God is. Who God is to me is more important than who God is. When Moses was going to show up before Pharaoh, God told him, tell Pharaoh that who sent you is I am that I am. It's like a blank check. I will reveal to you part time who you should tell Pharaoh I am part time. Because God knew ahead of time that Pharaoh was going to challenge the God of Israel 10 times. And there were 10 gods of Egypt. And God wanted to answer all of them and say, I am bigger than you, this particular God. Particularly, God wanted to take them. So God gave Moses a name that will capture. So that when Moses needed to deal with lies, God would say, I am the God above the lies. I am the God above leprosy. I am the God above the death of the firstborn. So God wanted Moses to go with the fact that God can show up in particular ways. My prayer for you in this month of April and going forward is that you will have personal revelation of God. Because there are sometimes, we read in John chapter 4 and verse 24, or from John chapter 4, if you start reading from the beginning, when somebody showed up and Jesus was talking, having a conversation with him, and Jesus said this. He said, you are worshiping what you don't know. There are many people that come to church, but they just come to church as routine. They don't know the God that they are talking about. They are talking, they know about God, but they don't know God. Because the Bible said they that know their God, they that have a personal revelation, they that God has become personal with, he said they shall be stronger. They will do exploit. So if there's anything you want to do for yourself in the next few weeks, in the next few months, is to allow yourself to know God, not about him. Because the more of God you know, you'll be able to say like the psalmist here, the Lord is not the light of the world. The Lord is not the light of my generation. The Lord is not the light of my nation. But the Lord is the light of my life. The Lord is the light of my life. So who God is not as important as who he is to you. Who he is to you. That's why sometimes Jesus will say, who do people say I am? He'll be asking his disciples. He knows who he is. He also knows who the people are saying that he is. But he wants to hear who they have come to take him as. Because it's their own personal conviction that will lead to whatever they can get from him. And so some people say, some say you are Elijah, some say you are this. And then Peter said something in Matthew chapter 18. He said, you are the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus said? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. That means that's not a general revelation. That's personal. He doesn't say because of the fact that your eyes have caught this thing. On this thing that you have said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to start my church on the personal revelation that you have had that I'm the Son of the living God. This is the foundation. I'm going to start it from there. So my prayer again for you this month is that God will personally open your eyes to understand him better in the name of Jesus. So the personal revelation of God is more important than the general revelation of God. It's more important. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we pray. Because we want to know more. We want to personally know him. Because when we know him, you know what will be happening? It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why will I be afraid? Why will I be afraid? Why should I fear? Why should I fear? Why should I be anxious? Why should I be under pressure? Why should I be paranoid? Why should I have phobia? If the Lord is my... So the more I can understand the Lord as my light, it dispels fear. It takes away fear. And can I tell you this? The devil is not powerful. The devil, the Bible talks, it says the devil uses wiles, he uses vice, he uses cunningness. What the devil does is that it uses us against ourselves. And how does he do that? He lets us get into situations where we will be afraid, where we will fear things. Because he knows that what you fear, you will attract. He knows that when you are afraid, what you are afraid of has more chances of happening than when you are not afraid of it. What you fear the most, like Job said, what I fear the most has come upon me. So what does he do? He pushes us into the place of fear. He pushes us into the places of fear. That's why David said in Psalm 23, he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that you are with me. Therefore, I will not be afraid. Because if I am afraid in the valley of the shadow of death, it is not death, but because it's the shadow of death, the death that has not been there, I will attract the death. Many of the things that you think is you are going through now is just a shadow. It's the shadow of death. When you now embrace the fear, the death that is underneath the shadow will now manifest. The devil knows that. And so that's what the devil is doing. And so that's why David said, the Lord is my light, the Lord is my salvation. Why, once I make the Lord my light and my salvation, when I let that revelation sink in more and more, it should dispel fear. So how can I measure if the Lord is my light, the Lord is my salvation, tank of my life is full? What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? Am I afraid of somebody is going to come to my house tomorrow and then before I open my eyes, I'll be in a place I don't want to be? Am I afraid of losing my job? Am I afraid of my children? Am I afraid that one day, sometimes you need to hear people talk. One day I'll be very old and nobody will take care of me. Am I afraid of that? So some people, they are acting against their fear. Every other action they are taking it to mitigate the fear. And that's not faith. Because the Bible said anything that is not faith is sin. So when you are acting to mitigate the fear, what you are still afraid of will still come. The devil is a bad devil. He will not say, oh, look at how she's now being careful not to get into that fear. Oh, no. The more you watch out for the fear, and I'm not telling you to be careless now, the more you try to keep yourself from that fear happening, the more you push yourself into it. Because Job said, what I have feared the most has come upon me. But I see somebody being liberated in the name of Jesus. So when the Lord is my fear, the Lord is my light and my salvation, when I make that happen very well, I should not be afraid. Because you see, fear is not the issue. Focus is the issue. Fear is a result of where your focus is. If your focusing is on the Lord, you will receive the Lord as your light. If your focus is anything but the Lord, very soon fear will come in. Fear is a focus issue. Look at this scripture. Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 33. Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 33. The summary of Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 33 is Jesus talking about the fact that people are careful for this. People are wondering, what will I eat? Where will I wear clothes? What will happen to me 10 years from now? What is Trump going to do if Democrats win the election? What is going to happen? What is going to die? What is going to... Can I tell you the truth? It does not matter what happens, who wins or who doesn't win. If your focus is on the Lord, God can use who you think should be against you for you. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
I've heard people say things like, oh, you know, let's wait for so-and-so to win. And something like this will happen. I remember before Obama became president then, several years ago, some people that had immigration issues, they would say, let's just wait for Obama to win. You know, he's from Africa. And then he came in. Boom, nothing. I mean, he probably did DACA. And that one, they are still DACA-ing the thing all over the place now. So it's not about who is there. It's about the Almighty God, who is your light and your salvation. And he will come to your rescue in the name of Jesus. So what we read in Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 33 is a focus issue. God, Jesus was saying this. Some people are focusing on what they wear. They are focusing on what they will eat. They are focusing on their life. And he's not saying it in a careless way. He's not saying don't be projective. Don't plan. He's not saying that. He's saying, look, before you plan, let your focus start like this. Then he goes into verse 3. He said, let your focus be this, the kingdom of God first. Let your focus be me first. That's why David said there. He said, when you said, I should seek you. When you told me that I should seek your face, he said, my heart responded and said, you are going to be my focus, because I know that if I make you my focus, I'll become the focus. If I make you my focus, because you are light, I will be in the limelight. I will not be in obscurity. I will not be in darkness. So I will make you my focus. And that's why if you look at David, he was always expressing that focus. He was always praising God. Because you see, what now happens when you make God your focus? one of the resultant effects is praise. It's praise. You will not be quiet because you have made the Lord your life. You something bad happened, but you are focusing on God. You are focusing on God. You are looking at Him. Look at, I think it's verse 4. Look at verse 4. See the way He put it there. In verse 4, 27, Psalm 27, verse 4. Quickly. All right. Our system has frozen. Psalm 27. Oh, it's on. Okay. It says, one thing I have desired, that will I seek after. I will make my focus. That I may dwell in your house. I will be fanatic about what is about God. I will take it to the extreme. I will follow. See, let me tell you the truth. God is a 100 or nothing God. God likes, if you are not on his side, he kind of likes it. He does not like those people who are on his side and who are on another side. He doesn't like it. He wants 100%. The devil likes 1%. Because he knows that's okay for him. And if you do sciences and all of that kind of thing, 1% impurity will affect the properties of that element. If an element is copper, for example, and you add an impurity of 1% any other metal, copper is not going to behave like copper again just because of that 1%. The devil knows that. The devil knows that if you make God your focus, if you are chasing after God passionately, he knows what is going to happen. He says, I have decided that I will focus on God. He says, I want to behold the beauty of God. I want to look at God. Because he understands that what you look at, you will look like. What you look at, you will look like. So if you are looking at God, the light, you will not be darkness. You will shine in your world. You will do well. You will excel. And I'm praying for somebody. In this month, you will shine in the name of Jesus. So, this issue of being afraid, this issue of being under, is a focus issue. If I focus on God, rather than what has happened, rather than what is happening, very soon what has happened, what is happening, will catch up with this God that I'm focusing on. It will rub on of my life. It will rub on everything. And a natural response to focus on God as your personal life is praise. It's praise. There's no way you focus on God and you not bust out in celebration, despite what has happened. Look at when they took everything from David. In 2 Samuel chapter 30. The Bible said, David cried so much that there was no strength in him. The Bible said, everybody that was with David wanted to stone him, because some people say, Pastor, you don't even understand. You don't even understand. Some bad things have happened. Some bad things can happen. I know bad things can happen. I know very terrible things that will depress even the biggest and greatest man of God. But later on, we read, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. How would you have done that? He probably would have started like this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy never ends. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy never ends. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me from his holy mountain. Then he started singing. The Bible said he encouraged himself in love. And suddenly he said, God, can I go? Can I pursue them? Can I overtake them? Will I recover all? And God said, then he didn't even ask if he will recover all. He just asked, pursue and overtake. God said, without fail, you will recover all. Because you have made me your focus, you cannot be out of focus. You cannot be in the dark. You will be in the limelight. So because of his focus and his response to his focus on God, which is praise, he saw a change. So this morning, I'm going to encourage you. Let us focus on God. Let's not focus on what is happening or what has happened. Let's focus on God and let that our focus on him, let it result into us saying like David, the Lord is my light. Not the Lord is the light. Not the Lord is a light. Not the Lord is our light. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. Therefore, I will not be afraid of a job loss. Therefore, I will not be afraid of maybe I won't have my own baby. Therefore, I will not be afraid maybe somebody is going to chase me away from here. Therefore, I will not Don't be afraid. Is somebody going to say that this morning? That's what we just want to do this morning in our dancing. We are focusing on God and we are expressing praise to Him and saying, you are my own light. You are my own light. You are my own light. Personal light. Will you bow down your heads to God this morning and speak to Him? And say, Father, I'm sorry where I have focused on the wrong thing. We are focused on the issue. That's not the issue. I want to focus on you. I want to look at you. Because when I look at you, I will look more like you. So I focus on the light which you are to me in the name of Jesus. I focus on you. I focus on you this morning. Yes, through my dance, through my lifting up of hands this morning, you are my focus. I'm saying that you are my focus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. If you are here this morning, well or else about, and you want to say, well, I just want to even make my way right with God. But apart from this whole focus thing, there's all other things going on. If you are here this morning, you are saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life, whether fresh or for the first time or afresh after a long time. I'll pray with you this morning. If I see your hands up, I'm going to pray with you. Or anybody all over this room this morning that don't want to say, Jesus, I want to make my way right with you this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just stand up this morning? Can we just stand up this morning? And we're going to declare loud and clear Psalm 27 and verse 1. Psalms 27 and verse 1. The Lord is not delight. The Lord is not a light. But it's just exactly as it's written here. Let's read it together. One, two, go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid of? Anything that made you to fear, made you to be afraid in the past month, I declare you will look for them. You won't find them again.
Amen.
Let me say it again. The things that gave you apprehension, you were under pressure, you were under tension. Those same things, not another one, those same things. You will look for them, you will find them again. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you because we have read from your word that if we remember and we understand how to make you our light, our personal light, it will lead into many things in our life. Lord, let this revelation not just be something we heard today. Let it walk throughout this week. Let it walk throughout this month. In this quarter, let it be our experience. Let it be that in every area where there is darkness, let there be light in the name of Jesus.